Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premiere Networks on Saturday, June 28th, 2014, episode 1095. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by ShareFile. Enhance your workflow. Send files of almost any size easily and securely with Citrix ShareFile. Try Citrix ShareFile today for a 30-day free trial. Go to ShareFile.com, click the microphone, and enter Tech Guy. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. Time to talk about computers, the internet, home theater, smartphones, all that jazz, digital photography. 8888-ASK-LEO, that's the phone number. 88, I see, that's so fast, I know. And you probably have a pencil poised over a piece of paper saying, what? 8888-ASK-LEO. That's easy, right? 888-827-5536. You know what? It's written in big letters on the homepage, techguylabs.com. That's also where you'll find a link to the chat room, which is a lot of fun. Always some great people in there. And then, also audio and video from previous shows and questions and answers transcribed. So everything that we talk about on the show is there, techguylabs.com. So here's the deal. A couple of big Supreme Court decisions. One that I think is being overplayed and one that's being underplayed. All the attention on the Supreme Court this week went to their decision to put Aereo out of business, saying that Aereo violated the television network's copyright. Much less attention paid to the, I think, significantly more important decision the Supreme Court made that said that law enforcement can't search your cell phone without a warrant. That's huge, and that's going to impact you and me and all of us for years to come. That's a very important privacy decision. Aereo, not so much. And I know people are going to get upset about me saying that. What was Aereo? And I say was in the past tense because they shut down a couple hours ago. And I don't think they said it's a temporary. They implied it's a temporary hiatus. It's not. I can't imagine them coming back after this. And they even said if we lose in the Supreme Court, we're out of business. A letter to our consumers, standing together for innovation, progress, and technology. An update on Aereo. Quote, the world hates change. It is the only thing that has brought progress, says Charles Kettering, inventor, entrepreneur, innovator, and philanthropist. This is the incredibly self-serving email that went to Aereo subscribers today. A little over 3 years ago, our team embarked on a journey to improve the consumer television experience using technology to create a smart cloud-based television antenna consumers could use to access live over-the-air broadcast television. On Wednesday, the United States Supreme Court reversed a lower court decision in favor of Aereo. By the way, there have been other decisions against Aereo. It's been a mixed bag. Aereo's been off the air in Colorado and the central U.S. due to another court decision, which agreed with the Supreme Court some months ago, dealing a massive setback to consumers. You know, that's a little self-serving. A massive setback to the business of Aereo, I'll agree. But to consumers, I don't know. As a result of that decision, our case has been returned to the lower court. We've decided to pause our operations temporarily as we consult with the court and map out our next steps. You will be able to access your cloud-based antenna and DVR only until 11:30 a.m. Eastern today. All of our users will be refunded their last paid month. If you have questions about your account, please email support@aereo.com or tweet us at Aereo Support. The spectrum, now this I think is a good key argument here. The spectrum that the broadcasters use to transmit over-the-air programming belongs to the American public. And we believe you should have a right to access that live programming, whether your antenna sits on the roof of your home, on top of your television, or in the cloud. On behalf of our entire team at Aereo, thank you for the outpouring of support, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that is the key consideration. Aereo, so what Aereo did is they created a company, very consciously designed the company to be strictly legal to the letter of the law. Because if, you know, this is how cable started. You probably remember this, that in the old days, in the dark days, you could watch TV only if you had an antenna. Sometimes you had to put an antenna on the roof. And if you weren't near a big city, you didn't have over-the-air television, or you might have had some poor, you know, UHF station. We broadcast from a little town in Northern California called Petaluma that without cable, we would only be able to see a couple of channels. We wouldn't be able to see the big networks at all because we're too far away from San Francisco. We're only an hour, but that's enough. So it was into that time, I guess it's probably started in the mid-60s and 70s, but really took off in the 80s, came cable companies. And what they did is they put up one big antenna near the city and then run cable, logically enough, a big cable back into the little rural areas, and actually, as it turned out, to everywhere. And you could then turn on your TV, attach the cable, and see those distant stations using their antenna. Now, even at the time, the local stations were a little miffed, and there were some considerable lawsuits over this, and agreements were made, retransmission agreements were made with the local stations, the must-carry rules, and the upshot of it after a considerable back and forth was that the cable companies could do this, but they would have to pay the local broadcaster. So channel 2 and 4 and 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11 would all get payments per subscriber for the right to rebroadcast. And everybody went away happy because the cable company just passed it along to you. Remember the days when you had that, when you had to pay to add local stations? That's kind of gone because of the must-carry rules. But you used to have to pay to add local stations, and the cable companies took that, and now they have to pass it along to the local channels. And that's where we stood. If you wanted to be a cord cutter, if you didn't want to pay the cable company, you could get a lot of content over the internet, but what you couldn't get is channel 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You couldn't get those local stations unless you were close enough to have an antenna on the roof, or even if you were really close, rabbit ears on the TV. Well, Aereo came along a few years ago with an interesting idea. You know, we could do the same thing as the cable companies do, couldn't we? But instead of one big antenna, it's just, by the way, exactly the same thing the cable companies did. Instead of one big antenna, each subscriber will rent a dime-sized antenna. We'll put them on the roof in the big cities, the roof of some tall building, racks and racks of these dime-sized antennas, and you would rent a specific antenna. They did this for a reason. To end around the rules that require cable companies to pay for retransmission. They said, well, we're not like a cable company because what we're doing, our business, our sole and utter business is renting an antenna to an individual. That's that individual's antenna. We don't put any programming on that antenna. We don't rebroadcast anything. We don't do anything. We just put an antenna there. Now, of course, there's a lot of wink, wink, nudge, nudge going on there because Aereo knows perfectly well the whole intent of this is to duplicate the cable company without paying the retransmission fees. But we don't. But, Your Honor... We don't tell them what to do with that antenna. They decide what to do. That was the entire basis of it. And the channels 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, Fox and NBC and all the rest said, no, you're taking our copyrighted material through the airwaves, which belonged to all of us, let's not forget, and allowing people to watch them and more importantly, perhaps, record them, DVR them, and so forth. Because that's the other thing Aereo did. You had to kind of, in the cloud DVR, you could say, well, not only am I going to tune my antenna to channel 4, but I want to record whatever's coming off of it and watch it at a later date on my iPad. Now, that seems reasonable. And I think what could happen is Aereo could go back and say, all right, we'll pay retransmission fees. We are a cable company. We're just like a cable company, really. So we'll pay those retransmission fees. And that could keep them in business. I think that they decided that that means they'll have to charge more like a cable company. Isn't that what people want to do? They want to cut the cord because they don't want to pay the money to the cable company, which ultimately goes to the local stations. It's not a lot, $5 a month, whatever it is. So I wonder, I mean, it may be that Aereo makes that decision to go back to the lower court and say, all right, Your Honor, I guess we're a cable company. We'll pay retransmission fees and that's that. I think it's a little sanctimonious of them to say, we're fighting the good fight for all Americans to preserve the freedom of the airwaves. They know exactly what they're doing. They designed a business to get around this fee. What do you think? Some people are infuriated. Others say, well, it was inevitable. I'm not sure where I stand on this one. I'd like to hear from you. 8888 Ask Leo. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. So what happened with the Supreme Court, and I'm not a lawyer, but I was looking at the decision, and what seems to have happened is that the Supreme Court is trying to interpret Congress's intention with the Copyright Act, in particular the amendment of the Copyright Act in 76 that was created in response to cable television rebroadcasting local channels to protect the local broadcasters. And the Supreme Court said Congress had a very clear intent here, and this we're going to decide to uphold that intent because that's our job. When Congress shows its intent clearly, we'll uphold it. Now, Lillian disagrees, and she is now. I think this is a cause for a little bit of bias. I do not have Aereo. I can't. We don't have it here, and now never will. But Lillian was an early user of Aereo. In fact, she was the first to show it to me. She lives in Long Island. And has Aereo. Hi, Dr. Mom.
Hey, Leo.
So you are losing your wonderful Aereo service, which you love. But can you separate your, you know, personal feelings about that from the legality of it?
I think the 76 Copyright Act Amendment, you're right, was what changed it. And then the courts interpreted that to say Aereo was a cable company and had to pay rebroadcast fees. The reason I will tell you I liked Aereo was that I am out of range of TV from New York City once they went digital. Used to be, you know, it was analog. You could kind of get a ghosty picture. You could get anything. I can get nothing now without paying a cable company.
Yeah, and as I said, up here in Petaluma, we can't either.
So the thing was, Aereo was simply, to me, an inexpensive cable company that gave me the local news channels and such.
Yeah, but to ABC, Aereo was inexpensive because they weren't paying ABC for the rights to rebroadcast.
But, you know, this whole thing is a fundamental shift in the way that, in my opinion, the way the broadcast companies are monetizing themselves. The theory was they were given free access to the over-the-air airwaves, and they monetized by selling commercials. They had the Nielsen ratings. They say, okay, nobody's watching this. We can't sell the commercials. Drop this program. Put on something that people watch.
Right.
All of a sudden, they've come up now. Once they realize they could get the cable company for the rebroadcast fees, they're shifting away from, we're going to get all of our money for our advertising and such, so we're going to get it for rebroadcasting.
But it's been now almost 50 years, 40 years, so they have redone how their business model based on that. They've built a new business based on a combination of advertising and retransmission fees. You can't go backwards. You can't go to pre-1976 and say, well, too bad.
The thing is that the whole concept of, as you've said it before, the way the network's working, cable companies working, is going to go away.
I'll tell you the truth. That's why, one way or the other, and I think you could argue both sides, I have on this case, it doesn't really in the long run matter because it's all going to go to the internet. It's just an interim thing. And even Aereo knew this. They did not expect this to be a long-term business. They knew that they were a clever hack, because that's really what it is, that will give cable cord cutters a few more years to be able to watch over-the-air television until everything went to the internet anyway.
I think you're right. The one question I have, if this is the decision the court makes against Aereo, that it's a public performance, how do all the bars with the TV showing the sports events get away with it? That's, if you want to say a public performance of a broadcast, that's a public performance.
That's true, and I think they're supposed to pay. Of course, nobody does. You know, that happens. ASCAP BMI walks around from store to store and they go in the store and say, I hear you playing music, but you're not paying for the rights to this music. We'd like to give you a license at a cost so that you can have a public performance of this song, even though you don't own it, you know. And that is legit. And they go around and you'll see that all the time. You'll even go to restaurants and bars that have a sticker on the door that says ASCAP BMI licensed. So I presume that applies to television, although I don't know if there's active enforcement going on. And I think that part of that is because the advertisements do pay a great portion of the costs. You know, when you buy an NFL contract or an NBA contract or the right to broadcast the World Cup or the Olympics, you're counting. It's very, very expensive. And I know this from local negotiations to buy broadcast rights for baseball and football. In San Francisco, the cost to rebroadcast the 49ers game is higher than the ad rate. You might break even, but barely. And the reason is the NFL knows exactly how much you can expect to make.
and they're going to charge you exactly that much for the rights. And people are willing to pay it because there's other benefits, and maybe they can make a little extra in some other way. So it's everybody putting pressure on everybody else. And, you know, we, at the end of the line, we're the ones who pay. It all comes from us. The money that pays for Coca-Cola's ads and pays for the broadcast of the World Cup and everything in between comes from the consumers who watch it, ultimately. Because you go out and buy Coke and you pay a little extra because you pay them, in fact, a lot extra.
I agree with you. What I was hoping, Ariel, if the decision had gone for Ariel, what I was hoping was it might move some of the companies such as HBO.
Well, that's what they were saying, wasn't it? That's what FX said, is that if we lose, if ABC loses, we're going to pull our over-the-air broadcasts of the FX channel. We're not going to do it anymore.
I could lose FX happily.
I know.
What I'm saying is,
ESPN might too, though. I mean, sports might go all ESPN, go all cable. I think we're in, and you know this because we've talked about this before. We're in very muddled times. It's very, when you have this kind of transition from one distribution system to another, the internet has really created chaos in so many businesses. This is a reflection of the chaos the internet is creating. And it's going to be chaotic for another 5-10 years, and then it'll settle out and everything will be on the internet and it won't matter.
What I was hoping was that if they'd won, we would start seeing individual cable channels saying, okay, you want to watch me on the internet? Pay me $5 a month to my channel, and you can stream it. And I think this is going to shut that down again also.
Maybe. I think the cable companies are in the driver's seat here.
Yeah.
Because every television network needs the cable, still needs. This is why HBO Go is requires an ESPN. If you want to watch the World Cup on watch ESPN on your iPad, you have to have a cable subscription and be paying for ESPN. And that's not what ESPN wants, understand. That's what the cable companies demand. And if ESPN were to say, hey, you can watch us for free, they'd be in jeopardy with the cable companies because the cable companies have to protect their business. And that's going to continue for a while. These guys are in the driver's seat. And by the way, you watch them fight with net neutrality and everything else to stay in the driver's seat. The cable companies are not going to give up easily. And this is a big victory. You may say it's a victory for ABC. They were the plaintiffs in this case. It's really a big victory for the cable companies. They're the point of distribution. And it's too bad. It really is too bad. Hey, thank you, Lillian. I appreciate it. It's nice to talk to you. I talked to your sister a couple of days ago.
I know. She loves that program, by the way.
I told her to get the Sunrise, the calendar program Sunrise, because she was having trouble with the built-in iPad or an Android calendar. And she likes it, huh?
Oh, she loves it.
And I was wrong. I thought it was paid. It's free. I don't know how they get away with that, but it's a great
program. Sure there's going to be pop-up ads somewhere
Maybe.
On it.
I have it on my desktop. I have it on my Android and my iOS devices everywhere. I love it. Hey, thank you, Lillian. Coming up, it's Scott Wilkinson, our home theater guru, to help you buy a big screen TV, which you, I guess, won't be connecting to area. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. He's Scott Wilkinson, the home theater guru, editor at avsforum.com. He's also our podcaster at the Home Theater Geeks, twit.tv/HTG. And joins us every week to talk about home theater. He's going to be here next week for the whole show, taking over for me.
Looking forward to it.
Can't wait. Thank you for doing that. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
So I'm sure we'll take a lot of home theater questions.
Get your home theater questions lined up there because we're going to be answering as many as we possibly can. It's going to be great.
Yeah. Well, what do you got for us today? I guess I should ask you what you think of this Aereo decision, first of all.
You know, it's a big decision. I happened to be in New York last week when it came down. I was at a big trade conference called CE Week, sort of a micro CES at the middle of the year. And when the decision came down, everybody was all a Twitter about it. I myself tend to believe that, yeah, Aereo really was retransmission. They say that they only rented these little dime-sized antennas one at a time to each subscriber, but I don't believe that's technically true. I think that the array of antennas had to work together to really provide a good signal, and so...
Oh, that's interesting.
Really,
I'd never heard that. That's a very interesting point of view.
Yeah, exactly. So, now, I do feel for those like Dr. Mom who... are in an area where they can't get over the air and they don't want to pay a lot of money for a cable subscription. This was a really interesting alternative. So that is a sad thing. But I tend to think that the Supreme Court was correct in this case.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, the other big news at CE Week, which to my way of thinking is really big news is we've talked about Dolby Atmos, right? Where you go out to the theaters, the commercial cinema, and they have speakers overhead, and it's what's called an object-based audio system, which means that the people who are creating the soundtrack can take individual sound-emitting objects like helicopters or, you know, whatever, and pan them around the room in a 3D sound space, and then that gets recreated in the theater. And makes for a much more immersive sound experience, brings you into the movie much more. It requires speakers overhead, or so it used to. It certainly did in the theaters, and everybody has been clamoring for it at home. But on the other hand, putting speakers on your ceiling has a very low wife acceptance factor. You know, your spouse is not going to say, oh, sure, you can put more speakers on the ceiling, no problem.
You know, I just got my surrounds in on my 5.1. Now I have to put one up there, huh?
Well, several.
More to the point, does it really make a difference? How often in a movie does the sound come from above you?
Well, when you have a Dolby Atmos soundtrack, it comes from above quite a bit. And there are over 100 movies that have been mixed with a Dolby Atmos soundtrack. That you could go see in the theater, in a Dolby Atmos equipped theater.
Right.
So the question is, can that be brought home? And the answer is yes. We found out this week that Dolby has released a specification for Dolby Atmos at home, and Pioneer, Onkyo, and Integra have all announced products now.
Really?
Yeah. Now, you might think a couple of things come to mind. One is, well, I really can't put speakers on my ceiling because for one reason or another. You don't have to. This is the most amazing thing. Dolby has specified that your front left and right speakers and your rear surround left and right speakers can have separate speakers on the top firing audio up to the ceiling, which reflects back down.
That's the old Bose direct reflecting set.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah. Exactly. It's coming back to haunt us, but in a really good way.
But they'd have to be pretty close to the ceiling to reflect sound off of it.
No,
they?
Not at all. The speaker, those top speakers have to have some specific directional characteristics. But Dolby specifies a ceiling height of like 8 to 14 feet, which I think encompasses a large fraction.
We have a 20-foot ceiling, so it's not going to work for me.
So it might not work in yours as well.
You know, a lot of living rooms have those cathedral ceilings. That's in California, anyway. That's not unusual.
Exactly. Yeah. And there was some question about, you know, how will this work with cathedral ceilings? And we don't know yet. We're going to have to try it and see. But
it'll work in my den, so that's what that's good. I'll put it in my den.
And I have to tell you,
Where does the upward firing speaker live? Is it?
It's sitting on top.
Is it the center channel or is it? No.
It's not on the center channel. It's in the front right and left, and the surround right and left.
Okay, so you have to get special surrounds and left rights.
Correct.
With these upward firing speakers.
Upward firing.
How come you don't hear it though? I mean, doesn't it disperse a little bit into your ear?
Well, that's where the directional characteristics come in. They need to be fairly directional.
Yeah.
So that they
like a little trumpet on top.
Exactly.
Great.
And in fact, those top speakers, upward firing speakers, have a separate input on the cabinet of the speaker.
So you can control their level.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now you need a special AV receiver. Or a preamp processor for more expensive, fancier systems that can decode the Dolby Atmos bitstream coming from the Blu-ray player. Now, the good news is any conventional Blu-ray player will work, and a Dolby Atmos soundtrack can be encoded onto any current Blu-ray disc. There aren't any available yet, but there will be by the fall. So any Blu-ray player will work. You need a Dolby Atmos soundtrack on a Blu-ray, and you need these special speakers and an AVR that will decode that sound, the audio coming off the disc. And when you do, and we heard a couple of demos at CE Week, it was astonishing. I mean, one of the great effects that this does is during the rain. If you have a scene where you're in the rain sounds like it's coming from above. It doesn't sound like it's coming from around you to the side as a normal 5.1 system would sound like. So it's really, really very effective. Helicopters flying overhead, shrapnel falling all around you, whatever.
Can you tell? Give me a movie that Atmos really shines in.
Well, certainly Gravity was one of my
favorites. Because everything's all around you.
All around you all the time. Exactly.
That makes perfect sense. You'd need incredible. In fact, that might be one just to test your surrounds in general.
Right. Yeah. Life of Pi. We saw clips from Life of Pi at this thing. And the scene where the ship is going down and there's rain all around and there's animals floating all around and stuff. It was fabulous. Just fabulous.
Okay.
I can't wait to try this in my house. In fact, Andrew Jones, the designer of the speakers for Pioneer, who previously designed the most outrageous value-oriented speakers for Pioneer in the last couple of years, is going to be on my podcast a week from this coming Thursday, so in a little less than 2 weeks, to explain more geeky detail, about how he designed these speakers and what the Dolby specifications are and how it works. So that's going to be very interesting. I'm really looking forward to that. He's a very articulate guy, very smart guy, designs $80,000 a pair speakers, but also designs these speakers that cost, much less than a tenth of that, and really provide exceptional sound for the money.
Yeah. Well, great. Now I got to buy more speakers. So Andrew Jones will be making these. Pioneer will have them.
Pioneer will have them. Triad had some prototype speakers at the show, and they were playing along with the Onkyo receivers. Onkyo announced two receivers, AV receivers, with Dolby Atmos, plus three other lower-cost receivers that will be firmware updatable.
Huh. Interesting. Well, that's right. You'd have to get a receiver that has those extra one or two channels. Four channels. So, thank you, Scott Wilkinson, Home Theater Geek. We'll see you next week.
You bet.
So you raised such an interesting technical issue, and I see this article describing from HDTV expert why he thinks that, in fact, the Aereo system technically has to use all the antennas, not just that one dime antenna
that
you rent.
I'm kind of surprised
that that argument wasn't, and he says this too, why didn't they make this argument? Because that also changes the point of view.
HDTV expert is a friend of mine, actually, Pete Putman, who is an antenna expert. I mean, he is a serious antenna expert. And I agree with him completely. Why didn't they even make that argument that it can't work the way they say it does?
Yeah. The antennas are too small. So the only way it could really work is as an array.
Correct.
He said, unless you're 100 feet from the Empire State Building antenna and it can brute force its way into that antenna, it has to resonate at the frequency.
Right. Yep.
And that's just too small of an antenna to resonate at the right frequencies unless they work together.
Yep.
And it makes sense because there aren't that many channels. So what you could really do is assign 20 of the dime size antennas to be channel 2, 20 to channel 4.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very interesting.
Red, so
yeah, but nobody made that argument for reasons I don't understand.
I'm kind of surprised at that. It is kind of a technical, geeky argument.
Well, probably ABC felt they had a sufficient case without it,
right? Just in terms of retransmission,
just for copyright, yeah,
right.
And Scalia's dissent is interesting. He doesn't disagree.
He dissented.
Yeah. He said, I share the court's evident feeling that what Aereo is doing to the network's copyrighted programming ought not to be allowed. But we don't need to distort the Copyright Act to forbid it. He says there's a distortion of the Copyright Act. It's not the role of this court to identify and plug loopholes. It is the role of good lawyers to identify and exploit them, and the role of Congress to eliminate them if it wishes. Congress can do that, I might add, in a much more targeted, better informed, and less disruptive fashion than the crude looks like cable TV solution the court invents today. And that was the big issue, was this could extend to other technologies like Dish, and that might be a problem. Right.
Tons of people in the chat room are talking about Fox suing Dish now.
Right.
That the case has
has
gone that way. Of course, the idea that Congress can get anything done at all ever is kind of laughable.
Right. Well, but that's still how the court works. The court. So Yeah. I conclude, as the court concluded in Sony, which is the Betamax case, it may well be that Congress will take a fresh look at this new technology, just as it so often has examined other innovations in the past, but it is not our job to apply laws that have not yet been written. He's, of course, very conservative, and this is the constitutional constructionist talking.
Right, right.
It's very interesting.
Very. I will really look forward to hearing This Week in Law about this.
They talked about it, and I haven't listened to it yet, but apparently they decided that this was a wrong-headed decision.
They decided it was a wrong-headed decision.
Yeah, but see, I think a lot of that comes from just merely a desire to have Aereo succeed. You know, a lot of the people arguing for Aereo just because they want it, not because
they want it to succeed,
merit,
yeah,
necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
You can always use a tinfoil hat.
I give this to you, Mr. Scotty, and I will bow out for a moment.
Have a little break there, will you? So, yeah, everybody listening right now, as Leo said, I will be filling in for him next weekend, Saturday and Sunday, all 3 hours, both days, talking home theater and audio video. So get those questions lined up. We're gonna be talking some pretty geeky stuff and having a great old time. And as Leo has asked before, I do sit on the ball. I don't get a chair in there. I really like that, actually. It keeps me bouncing along. So let's see. Stephen R. asks, any thoughts, information on Transformers 4 showing in 4DX in L.A.? No, I don't have any information on that. But it should be interesting because I don't even know that much about it, to tell you the truth, except that I heard that it was kind of a smell-o-vision kind of a thing. So that could be interesting. Here we go.
Sounds like the World Cup in my ears. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888. Ask Leo. Next week, Scott Wilkinson filling in for me on the show because I'll be in Hawaii on a little vacation. Looking forward to it. Let's get back to the phones. And Cheryl, she's on the line from Canyon Lake, California. Hi, Cheryl. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. How are you?
I am great. How are you?
I'm great. You know, first, I just want to tell you that I really appreciate that you can take really technical information and break it down into particles that anyone can understand and then simplify it so we can actually use that information.
Oh, thank you,
Cheryl. You have a wonderful gift, and thank you so much for sharing it with us.
I'm blushing. Thank you. That's very kind of you.
Now my question.
Yes.
I want to know how to use social media. I want to be heard, and I want to know what venue of social media would reach the greatest population of people, especially here in California or the Western.
Well, that is a great question. You know, most social media is set up in such a way that people won't hear you unless they specifically follow you. So that's how Twitter works. That's how Google Plus works. That's how Facebook works. And all three of those big social media platforms, you're shouting into the wind unless people intentionally listen to you. So they're not broadcast mediums in the sense that, I guess that's true, though, of broadcast, too. If you don't tune to your local radio station, you're not going to hear me either. So that's an important thing because what it means is you can't just create a Twitter account or a Facebook account or a Google Plus account or a Pinterest account and expect to be heard. That doesn't work that way. You have to generate interest in what you're saying in other areas and get people to follow you on Twitter and Pinterest.
Well, like a blog or a web page?
Yeah, I think you know, unfortunately, in the social media era, people no longer really created blogs or web pages. That's kind of dying. But I think it's still important that you own one place on the net that's yours, that has your name on it. So let's say you have, I presume you have something to say. You said there's something you want to get out there. You care a lot about something.
I want to be heard. I have something very important.
Good.
It needs to be heard.
And that's wonderful. And that's what I am so excited about with the internet is that it gives anybody a pulpit. And, you know, in the past, the way it's worked with mass media is, and I know this because I had to do it, you have to talk somebody into letting you on the air. Now, it happens to be a bully pulpit. Once you get on the air on a big station, you mm-hmm. have a lot of listeners. But it's not easy. And the person, there's a gatekeeper. whether it's the music industry, the publishing industry, television, radio, or movies, there's a guy, usually a guy, usually a white guy with a lot of money who had, you know, built the tower or set up the movie company or has the recording studios, who has all the say. And those people have been gatekeepers for the last 100 years. They're the ones who say, you, they're the, quote, hit makers, right? What does that mean? Well, they're in charge. And the internet has changed that. If you're a great musician, a great writer, if you have something to say and it resonates with people, the internet gives you the chance to reach almost everybody in the world, 1 billion people in the world, for free.
Give me a finger hold of where I can start.
The first thing to do is to create a website, and you can do that in a lot of places. It's free on WordPress. Right. Or blogger.com. Squarespace is $8 a month. It's very easy to create your own website. That's the start. And then, you know, one of the things when we talk about Squarespace, I talk about how easy it is to link your social media in. And that's what you want. You want your Twitter feed, you want your Facebook feed and all of that to refer back. And you want, when people go to your website, them to see your Twitter feed and your Facebook feed so that they know, oh, this is great. Cheryl's putting a lot of great stuff up there. I'm going to make sure I follow her on Twitter and Facebook and Pinterest and wherever. Okay. Is it a political issue? What is the issue for you?
Well,
you don't have to. Generally, just,
I don't mind telling you. I just didn't want to take time on your show. But
well, you're going to. By the way, you're going to have to change that attitude. You need to start getting aggressive. Okay. You know who gets heard? The squeaky wheel, the pushy guy.
Well, I am squeaky and I'm angry.
Good.
Because there's a healthcare organization, an HMO called Kaiser Permanente, and they have screwed me over royally. They have taken and amputated my leg and botched it.
Oh, that's terrible. I have to say that this is, okay, so this is personal. It's
right.
So I would definitely tell your, write your story and put it on a website. That's the first place.
Okay.
But I have to say that, so I should amend what my advice was. If you're having trouble with an organization, almost every organization, Kaiser included, monitors their Twitter feeds. So another way you can get, if you're trying to get their attention, there's a difference between trying to get the public's attention and a company individual's attention. If you're trying to get their attention, you start tweeting publicly with at whatever their Twitter handle is, at Kaiser.
Me out. I need people to hear what they're doing.
Well, it's, yeah.
People don't know about
it. So what scares them and what makes this effective is that you're doing this in public. It's like, kind of like,
right.
Remember Speaker's Corner in London on Hyde Park where people would, this was a great tradition in London that anybody could get up on a box and talk about any issue. And this is, the internet is Speaker's Corner for everybody. But so the thing is, once you start saying this in public, then organizations start to sit up and take notice. That's why the best way often to get relief if you've got a consumer issue is to go onto Twitter and start tweeting it.
Okay.
And many of these companies, they very carefully watch Twitter because what they don't want, it's one thing if you're talking to them on the phone, nobody else is hearing it. What they don't want is for you to be complaining in public. So start tweeting. Right? I would start by writing a blog that is a detailed account of your story because that's where you're going to refer people to.
Where will I go to do that?
WordPress.com is free. It's a
WordPress,
good. Yeah. Blogger.com. That's Google's version of that.
Okay.
They're both free and they're very easy to use. And all you need is it's kind of like, yeah, WordPress.com is a great place to start. And then just create that page. And then people will go there if they want to read the details. But now you create an account. You probably already have a Facebook account. You may even have a Twitter account. I would make sure that you have both. And start talking about it and refer people back to your page. Your Twitter account should have a link to that page on the header, you know, because it asks you when you set up the account, you know, for a biographical information. Say specifically, I got screwed by Kaiser. I want you to hear my story so it doesn't happen to you. Here's the link. And you have that website there. And then you start tweeting. And don't, you know what? I think one of the things is to not look like, you don't want to look like a crank, is to talk about the specific issues and details and why it's important for everybody to listen to what you have to say. If you're just an angry person shouting on a street corner, you're going to get less attention than if you're on a street corner, reasoned, thoughtful, making excellent points. So remember that. And the Twitter is the street corner. It's the modern Speaker's Corner. And what's different about this is that every organization, I'm sure Kaiser's this way, every organization watches, carefully monitors what's going on there because they want to make sure that their public image is not damaged on Twitter. Anytime I've complained on Twitter, I've heard about it. Of course, it helps. The more people you have following you, the better. So you want to kind of build up that following. Hey, good luck. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I don't know if I'm going to have time. Let's start, and then we'll probably have to take a break. No, we do. I'll get to John. You'll be the first caller in the next hour. John, thank you so much. 8888-ASK-LEO is the phone number. Website, techguylabs.com. I am Leo Laporte, the tech guy. All right, Scotty, I give you the helm.
Thank you so much, sir. 40 degrees right rudder, full speed ahead.
Make it so, number two.
Make it so. Audio in the chat room is saying, I'd love to hear about the technology used for the screens surrounding the fields at the World Cup next week when I'm there in the studio. You know, that's a great idea. I will see what I can find out about it. You know, I'm not a sports fan at all. I'm not even watching the World Cup, especially since they banned vuvuzelas. You know, that kind of made me
We're bringing
mad.
Them back.
I want them back. But, you know, even so, so there's a, there, you know, if there are interesting screens around. The... All right. Yeah, Leo. Leo is playing the vuvuzela. Good. Excellent. Well done. UJ is asking, are you going to mention the new flat UHD TVs that Samsung announced? I'm sure I will. I haven't, because I was at CE Week and I was just jam-packed with stuff at CE Week last week in New York and didn't have a chance to really read that too much. My colleague Mark Henninger posted a piece about it on AVS Forum. They announced some new flat ones and some new curved ones. I did talk at the, I was co-chair of a conference at CE Week called Your Next TV. And I was moderating the panel of TV manufacturers, and there were representatives from Sharp, Samsung, LG, Toshiba, Bang & Olufsen, and one other that I can't think of at the moment. Anyway, I did pose the question, what's the deal with curved screens anyway? And Samsung and LG both said, well, we offer both. You can have your choice. You know, Samsung even went so far as to say it even improves your experience off axis because the side of the screen that is curved at the farthest away from you is curved towards you, and it gives you better off axis performance from an LCD. We were talking about LCD TVs there, not OLEDs. And I sort of said, well, yeah, but the screen, the part nearest to you is more off axis. So you get this definite disparity of performance of picture quality from one side of the screen to the other. How can that be good? He didn't have a good answer for that. Logan 5 says, I can't help but wonder if 4K or higher screen qualities, resolutions really, will lead to health concerns like triggering epilepsy. I'm not a doctor, so I can't really say, but I wouldn't think so. As far as I know, epilepsy is more a problem if you are subjected to flashing lights at a certain frequency. I don't know, though. Dr. Mom might be able to answer that one much better than I could. The soother writer says, my next TV won't be curved. Yeah, exactly. So anyway, that's that. Next week, of course, I do hope you will all come and join in the chat room. I will be posting a thing on AVS Forum to encourage AVS Forum members to come and be in the chat room as well, because we're going to have loads of fun. On Saturday, I'll be flying solo, but on Sunday, I will also have my friend David Vaughn in the studio, and we're going to do a little tag teaming, and so that should be fun as well. Mike Heiss, M. Heiss in the chat room. Hey, Mike, glad to see. I'm always glad to see you in here. LG has 105-inch curved LCD at Infocom. The larger size minimized the downsides of curved. Looked really good. I totally agree. Curved makes more sense to me when it's a really big screen, just like at the movie theater. You know, when you go out to the movies, you see these really large screens, and they are curved. And so that it makes sense there. At CE Week, there were a number of people who said, boy, we've gone from convex curved, that is the CRT screen, which kind of bulged out a little bit, to flat, to now concave curved. So it's going sort of all around there. Hey, Himtez, how you doing? Dem 90, glad to see you're here. And we'll be here next week as well. The Strobe effect causes epilepsy. Yeah, exactly. Somebody said there. Exactly. Jeffer asks, any thoughts on the new Google TV? I'm not sure what you mean by that. Google TV's been around for a while. I don't know what you mean by the new Google TV. If you be a little more specific, I might be able to answer that. Monty says, how about a wavy screen that you get both concave and convex at the same time? Panasonic had that at CES this year. They had what they called the Wave, which was OLED screens all strung together in a concave, convex kind of wavy pattern. It was pretty cool looking, but not very practical. Sure drew the eye, though, among the showgoers. M. Heiss said, but the real downside is that the as that LG told me it will likely cost about the same as a 5 series. Yeah, these big TVs are going to be expensive. Although Samsung, going back to the question earlier, Samsung did announce recently, very recently, just before the show, I think, they will have a 85-inch UHD TV flat for under $10,000. Whether or not it's edge lit or backlit, I don't know. I'll have to find out. But a Samsung 85-inch UHD TV for under 10 grand. Under 10 grand is kind of a joke. It's $99.99. But still, you know, that's far less than the 15 or 20 grand of their previous generation. So these things are coming down. Quite a bit. Oh, Archandra says, the one talked about at Google I.O. this past week. I didn't pay attention to Google I.O. because I was too jam-packed at CE Week, so I'm going to have to go back and look at that. But I will. What about an elliptical screen, the Trek Mech says? Well, that would require a whole, either a bunch of cropping or a whole new transmission system, so I kind of doubt that's going to happen anytime soon. Uh-oh. Are we about to happen?
A little time. I just...
Making sure we don't miss it. Yeah. Apple fan asks, am I an Apple or Android fan? I'm a total Apple guy. All my computers are Macs. I have an iPhone. My wife uses a Mac computer, but she's an Android fan when it comes to phones. So we are a dual-platform family.
All right, Scott. We'll see you next week.
We will see. Yeah, I will see you in Hawaii.
Yeah, ages from now.
Yeah, have a great time, man.
All right. Thanks. Take care. Well, hey, how you doing today? How you doing today? Leo LaFour here, the tech guy, channeling Joey for reasons I don't fully understand. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number, 888-827-5536. We talk tech here each week at this time. Computers, of course, the internet, sure, home theater, digital photography, and all that jazz. The phone number, 8888-ASK-LEO, the website, techguylabs.com, and I promised I would go to John in Crane Hill, Alabama next, because he just got a brand new Surface Pro. Hey, John.
Hey, Leo.
Did you get the Surface Pro 3?
No, I was ready to. I was ready to pull the trigger on that, and I looked at it in Fry's in Atlanta, and I just thought that the 10-inch screen was more tablet-y. I wanted something.
Well, you know what's interesting about it, and maybe this is what you were unconsciously noticing, is it's a 4:3 aspect ratio. It's not a widescreen. It's the old-fashioned 4:3, and I think actually that's a good shape for a tablet, as you say. That's the aspect ratio of the iPad. But it's not what we're used to with computers anymore. So a laptop, it might be a little odd.
Yeah. And the other thing was that the power keyboard hasn't come out yet for the Surface Pro 3.
Really? You can only get the type keyboard. You can't get the one with a battery built into it.
Right. And, yeah. And they indicated, and I went to Best Buy, too, and they indicated it was going to be a couple of months.
Yeah, that's what happened last time, so I wouldn't be surprised. Although the battery life's pretty good, I think, on these. The people I know who have a Surface Pro 3 like it. This is the Microsoft got into the PC business a year or so ago, and they've been making these Surfaces, which are kind of hybrids. They're tablets, but you can snap on. You've all seen the ads by now. You can snap on a keyboard. It's touchscreen. They're very light, but they're it's kind of the ideal form factor for people who want a tablet sometimes and a laptop sometimes, I guess. I don't know. It's not my thing. But I want a I use for Windows, I use an Acer S7. And I would recommend that if you're looking. Are you looking for a Windows machine?
Say that again?
What are you looking for?
Well, I bought it.
I thought you didn't buy it.
You didn't buy it. No, I bought the Surface Pro 2.
Oh, you bought the 2, not the 3. I see.
And so
what's your question?
I want to know what do I want to do? I'm holding myself back from installing everything until I'm satisfied I've done the security due diligence. So I figure I got to set up a user account separate from administrator.
That's right. Although it's a pain in Windows. A lot of programs act funny when this happens and so forth, but it is the right way to run Windows. Do not run day-to-day as an administrator. Run as a limited user.
And I've never encrypted my hard drive before, but I'm thinking I might.
Yeah. I think I may be wrong, but I think on the Surfaces it's encrypted by default.
Oh.
I may be wrong on that. Yeah. But yes, absolutely. If it's not, use BitLocker. Well, actually, you may not have access to BitLocker because you have to. That's a really interesting question. Doesn't BitLocker require Windows Pro? And I don't know what the Surface Pro ships with. I'm sure somebody in the chat room will tell me.
It's 8.1.
Yeah. So
I did download a Windows program and fire it up, LibreOffice, just to see.
Yeah.
I know it runs Windows.
Oh yeah, I think you'll be happy with the whole thing. I would probably want to buy the 3, but they are Microsoft is still selling the 2. I just feel like there's a newer sheriff in town. Not crazy. I have to say I'm not. Like I said, for me, if I'm going to use Windows, I'm going to use a laptop. Not a tablet. I'm not a big tablet, Windows tablet fan. Let's move on to Ron in Downey, California. Hi, Ron. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, it's good to talk to you again.
Nice to talk to you. Thanks for calling.
So today, Amazon's giving away a handful of paid applications for free.
Yeah, they do that every day in the Amazon Android store.
But evidently, you can get more than just one or two today. But my question is, I've got a Google Nexus 7, and in order to get I have to check a box that says, do you want to get apps from... And I was just wondering if there's a risk, if there's a best practice.
No, it's risky if instead of just getting it from Amazon and Google, you get it from Joe's backyard, androidapps.com. So this is an interesting question because on the iPhone, you cannot download apps from anybody but Apple Store unless you jailbreak it. On Android devices, there's just a checkbox in the settings that says, yeah... I know it's a risk, but I'm going to get stuff from other stores. If you're getting it from Amazon, Amazon's safe. It's probably arguably safer than the Google Play Store because Amazon has only approved about 250,000 apps. And I think they're fairly careful about those apps. Those apps are the biggest apps out there. So I don't think that's any problem at all.
So this is only happens when you actively want to download an application. Nothing can be done at any other time. Do I need to uncheck it? Do I need to?
No. Yeah. To be between you and me, I check it on every device. It's not harmful. You would have to go to malwaresite.com and download malware. It's not going to sneak into your system. No.
All right. Well, they just say, are you sure you want to do this?
Rightly so. I mean, it's the same thing with Apple. Apple won't even let you do it. One of the reasons we like Android is because at least they give you the chance, the opportunity to trust you. And so, but they want you to understand, be careful. Now that you've checked this box, you have to be careful about where you get Android apps from. But if you're just getting it from Amazon and Google, I think that's no more risky at all.
That's all I needed to know.
Yeah, and if you can get a bunch of free apps, do it.
All right, appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't talked today about the Amazon Fire phone they announced this week. I think I guess they announced it last week, so we talked about it a little bit. I mean, this is an interesting idea. Amazon's getting into the business of smartphones. Nothing to write home about. It is not Android exactly. It's Android customized for Amazon. And my biggest problem with Fire OS and with the Fire phone, I think the Fire phone's great. I ordered one, of course. And I think it's a top-of-the-line phone. Looks to have a good camera. Amazon's offering free unlimited photo storage. That's nice. I really like the idea of this Firefly button that you just press a physical button on the phone and it will take a picture of anything, identify it, and if you can buy it on Amazon, show you how. Smart for Amazon, and it's convenient. There's some stuff I don't really care about, like these 3D effect, the dynamic perspective effect. I'll tell you when I see it, but it doesn't sound incredible. The Mayday feature is great for somebody who's got their first smartphone or somebody who's worried that they won't be able to use it. You press a button and a live advisor comes on within 15 seconds and helps you. That's cool, but it's not something that's going to get me or anybody who's had a smartphone before excited. My biggest problem with the Amazon phone is it doesn't have Google services. You'll be using Nokia's Here Maps, not Google Maps. And you can't, in many cases, you can't just install Google stuff. You can only install stuff from the Amazon store. Isn't that interesting? It goes one way. On an Android device, you can get anything on the Google store or the Amazon store. But on an Amazon device, you can only get stuff from the Amazon store. So it only really makes sense for somebody who lives in the Amazon ecosystem, which I do. Oh, you also have to buy it from AT&T, and it's not any less expensive than any other smartphone. I am still an Android fan. Now, I didn't mention the thing that was announced this week, which was the Android Wear watches, and we'll talk about those in a little bit. But let me take a couple more calls, and I'll talk about Google's announcements this week. Rick is on the line from Kingman, Arizona. Hi, Rick. Leo Laporte, the tech.
Hey, Leo. How are you doing?
Oh, I hear the magic music. Hang on. You're next. We got to take a break for our fabulous sponsors. We'll have more in a moment. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. La da 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 da. Walk like a tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I also am built to perform. I'm here to perform hardware upgrades, software upgrades, malware removal. I can do it all. Rick on the line from Kingman, Arizona. Oh, let's pick him up again. Oh, what did I do? What did I do? Oh.
I'll get him back. I'll get him back.
Get him back, will you? Mm-hmm. All right. Meanwhile, it's Eric in Torrance, California. I'm sorry, Rick. Eric, Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, Leo.
Hey.
Wondering if you knew, I have a T100, and it works with this inspection camera I got off eBay.
A T100? You have a Terminator? Is that the first Terminator model or the second?
No, I'm just kidding. It hasn't terminated me yet. It is Windows 8, so I'm hoping.
You're talking about an Asus T100.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd like to get an Android tablet like 7-8 inches instead of this monstrosity.
How big is a T100?
10.5, 11 okay. Inches the screen.
Right. It's funny, we were talking about the Surface Pro. It's kind of before the Surface Pro came out, this was the Transformer. The Asus Transformers were kind of the same thing. They were tablets, you'd click on a keyboard. Right. Yeah, I mean, I remember they've had these for a few years, and I think they were quite popular. So you want to get an Android laptop or?
Just a tablet, so I can have, the computer at home. I have the Note 2. I just like a little bit bigger screen, and I need it to work with an inspection camera, which the Windows 8, which I hate, does. But
Windows 8, which I hate. It's the new slogan. Yeah. Windows 8, which I hate. And you want Android because
It's just faster, lightweight.
Yeah, you don't need all the folderol of Windows of a full operating system if you're just doing a few things with this.
Exactly.
So this camera that you use, when you use it with Windows, is there software the camera company comes with software, or how does it?
No. It's just like a 4-foot long flexible cord with a regular USB on it.
Ah,
and a little tiny, like 5-6 millimeter lighted camera end.
So this is going to be the first challenge. Because while Android tablets are USB for charging, what you wanted to do is use it as a USB host device. And some do. You're going to look for something called USB OTG on the go.
Yeah, and I've tried a bunch of apps and nothing, has enabled it. So, there are supposedly special webcams that will do that, but they're big. They don't fit in.
So do you have an Android tablet of any kind? Or Android phone?
Just a Note 2, and it doesn't work with that.
It doesn't work with the Note 2, yeah, because the Note 2 has on the go.
Yeah.
Oh, but Samsung wires it differently, I think. Samsung has done a funny thing with their USB wiring.
Have they?
Okay. Yeah, you need to have a specific Samsung USB cable to work with the Samsung Note 2.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, maybe if I get that, this will work then?
Yeah, get the Samsung on the go cable. It should work because it's just a USB device.
Oh, fantastic.
You would need to find software that could see a camera.
Not a problem. I mean, as long as it exists.
Well, that's a question. This is an interesting question. And then what else do you do? So you want to see the camera's output on the screen.
Yeah, and the Note 2 should be able to at least capture the screen, even if the software, even if the app can't do that. I just basically want to be able to see.
So you want a screen capture from this camera?
It'd be nice, but the Note 2, I can just pull out the stylus and do that.
Oh, yeah, that's nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can, with on the go, you're going to get a USB connection to the camera, but then you need a driver that sees it as a camera. You need I guess what we could do is we could just see on the Play Store if there is such a thing.
I've tried a bunch of them, and the ones that, seem to be applicable to my situation, they just don't work, either with this camera or maybe.
Well, I want to make sure you got the right cable, because you need to have you need to have the Samsung OTG cable.
As opposed to a generic one.
So you're not going to get you're not going to see anything unless you have the right cable. Even if you have the right cable, then we've got to find a camera app for Android that will see, and I don't know if you're going to see something that does that. That's the question. I'm just looking. I see a number of USB camera apps.
Right.
This is an Android application. Display and record the video from a USB camera. All right. So I do see a couple. There's one from Infinitegra Incorporated. It's on the U.S. It's on the Play Store. There's a free trial version, and the key is going to be to get the right cable.
Yeah.
So this is interesting. This is really here's what I would do. These are the camera. What camera are you using? Because it only supports certain cameras.
Yeah. This is just the cable, the USB adapter cable I got from eBay. I'm the guy that finds stuff on eBay for like pennies on the dollar.
Yeah, so then you're paying the price because nothing necessarily works together. So this app, and this is one of many I found on the App Store, says you have to have Android 4.0 with USB host function, and then you need to have a camera that it supports. And I think that's part of the issue is the app itself has the drivers built in. So get an on-the-go cable for your Samsung Note 2. You can download this software and a variety of other software for free and just try it. Let's try it without buying anything. How about that? Except for that Samsung cable. You should be able to do that. I would. It's a driver issue. Peter in Brooklyn. Hey, Peter. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. How are you?
I'm well. What can I do for you, sir?
Leo, two questions. One, I just bought a Mac Pro.
The new one. The coffee can. Awesome.
And for your recommendation.
I love my Mac Pro.
Yeah, same here. The question I had was, I was looking at some videos on YouTube, and they were saying that before the Mac Pro, I had a 2000 iMac, fully loaded, 32 gigs of memory, 256 SSD. And they were saying that basically that was my fast 64 Mac Pro in some aspects.
No.
Is that correct?
No. Well, in some aspects means in a very particular, if you use it in a very particular way. So the Mac, so for instance, you can find processors with faster clock speeds. So if you're using an app that requires a fast clock speed on a single CPU, it might be faster on that old iMac. But here's why the Mac Pro is faster in almost every case. It has a workstation category processor, the Xeon, which has lots of L2 cache. That makes it faster. Fairly fast cores. Not necessarily the fastest cores out there, but fairly fast cores. It has a fast data bus. It has very fast memory. And it has a very, very fast hard drive. So in almost all operations, unless you cherry pick a very specific kind of operation, in almost all operations, the Mac Pro will be faster. Leo Laporte, it better be at that price. The Tech Guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Johnny Jets, our traveling guy, our guru of hotels, airports, planes, trains, and automobiles. He joins us each and every week at this time from a mystery location. He's traveling. You're there for how long?
I came in after last week's show was in L.A., then I flew to Toronto, and I was supposed to be in Toronto for the week, and I got invited by British Airways to go to Glasgow, Scotland for the day, and then to come out to Wimbledon
You
for
spent
the day.
A day in Scotland?
Yeah, I spent a night in Scotland and a night, and actually two nights now. Tonight will be my second night in London. I just went to Wimbledon.
Wow. You went to Wimbledon? Oh, man.
I can't turn down Wimbledon.
Did you go to Center Court?
You know what? I was at Center Court.
Who did you watch? Did you watch somebody play?
I saw Nadal play today.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
And then Sharapova played in the Federer.
I am so jealous.
I left early to come back to the hotel.
For us?
Of course. What am I going to do?
No, you should stay there.
I made a commitment to
you. No.
No.
I would, next time, just stay there. What hotel are you staying at?
I'm traveling tomorrow. I'm at the Rosewood, which you probably never even heard of because they're very understated, but it's amazing hotels, luxury, Rosewood, London, and I'm here with Wimbledon Experience. These guys, if you ever want to do Wimbledon the right way and the expensive way, you want to check these guys out.
It's my goal when I retire to go to all the big sporting events. I want to go to the World Cup. I want to go to the Olympics. I want to go to Wimbledon. I want to go to Formula One in Monaco. I want to
This was on my bucket list.
That's a big bucket. Boy, that's a great one. I'm jealous. Yeah. Have fun.
So I'm very lucky.
So these guys are tour planners or something?
Yeah. So it was British Airways partnered with, I guess, Glasgow and also these guys, Wimbledon Tours. They're run by Keith Prowse, actually, which is an old – they used to do theater tickets, and I think they still do.
Oh, interesting.
I'll write about it next week.
I love my job. There are very few jobs I look at and say, boy, I'd love to do that. Yours is one of them.
Thank you. I got a couple quick tip. Somehow I didn't follow my own advice in my daily tip newsletter. I had this tip a week ago. It said separate your phone from your cash and credit cards, and like a fool I got on the tube today and I lost my credit card.
Oh no.
And a train ticket, and it's because my phone has a cover on it.
It pulled them out.
I was excited to be at Wimbledon. I kept pulling my phone out to take pictures, and out it went. So please separate your phone and your cash so you don't make the same mistake
as I did. Because the best advice is to get, and this is what I do, something with a zipper and put the stuff that you don't want to lose in there and zipper it.
I usually do. I just was not.
I wear the Scotty Vest clothing. See, and I got zippers everywhere.
I have Scotty Vest. Yeah. He sends me so much stuff, and I just was not wearing it today because I had it dressed up because that was this exclusive part. David Beckham was
Scotty Vest. They have dressy stuff. You could have worn a dress shirt.
I know, but you know.
They got lots of little pockets with zippers. Zippers are great. And then, and you know, a pickpocket, I guess, could get in a zipper, but they've got to be pretty good.
But the good news is I told the people the tube, and they let me ride for free.
Oh,
I mean, how awesome is that?
That's because the British are very polite.
They can be.
Yeah.
They can be.
They can
be. So anyway, I got an app for you.
Yes.
Since we're on the subject of tennis and Wimbledon.
Yes.
So check out this app. It's called Tennis Buddy.
Okay.
So it's for people who are traveling, or you can even use it if you live in your hometown, but they match you up with people who, if you ever want to play tennis and you're traveling, you know, they have almost 10,000 users.
What a great idea.
And they will match you up with people your level, your age, whatever gender. And I think it's a cool idea.
You can send out a broadcast, say, hey, I'm in London, and this is how good I am, and anybody want to play? That is better than, like, Tinder, the dating app. It's a tennis app. That's great.
I think Tinder's more than a dating app.
Whatever. Whatever. This is more than a tennis app. Find a tennis buddy near you. That's great. And it's on both iOS and Android, which I like.
Yep. That's so neat. It's a cool idea.
Great.
So
idea.
I got another website for you.
Yeah.
So 2 weeks ago, I was in Puerto Rico, and I was actually filming videos for American Express, and my camera crew had a drone, and the guy shoots it down.
Oh, those
literally,
are so
it was about
cool.
100.
Aren't those cool?
It was awesome. It was about a. Instead of running a helicopter to take all this aerial
photos, they use these quadcopters. We have one. We have the DJI. It's so cool.
It is awesome.
Yeah.
So my website is travelbydrone.com. It's not my website. It's someone else's. But
so
what
these
it does,
are all
it
like drone images?
Drone videos.
Wow.
So you can pick the destination. And boom. Actually, I think that's the exact same one I clicked today. It is.
Bournemouth. Oh, isn't that funny? Yeah, it's in Britain. So all over the world, you can just see people's drone videos.
Yep, so hopefully they'll put mine on there.
Yeah. So what? Tell me about the American Express thing. Were these ads or what?
I'm one of Starwood's star bloggers, they call it, for their SBG program. And so they hired me to... I've been one of their bloggers for a while, and actually I have to go to the U.S. Open every year. It's in my contract, which is not a bad gig.
Wow. Oh, man. I have to go every year to the U.S. Open. What a bummer, man. Oh, man.
It's awesome. I'm the luckiest man alive.
You got a good job.
So anyway, twice a year they fly me and a guest to a different destination, and this time they wanted to film it to do some promotional videos, and they hired a camera crew, and these guys, you know, they had a drone, and it was awesome being down there.
We love our Phantom drone, and there's a new one now that the camera built into it, and you can tilt and aim the camera remotely, and my crew really wants me to buy it for
him. My camera guy, he saw the battery running low, and he's over the resort, and so he brings it back quickly, and the battery dies in the air, and it goes right into the fountain.
Oh.
Luckily, it didn't hit anybody.
Oh.
But it definitely cost him. The drone was about $1,000, and I'm sure it cost a.
Yeah.
He says he can take it apart and just replace different pieces of it. But
yeah,
still.
The one they want me to buy is like $1,500 or $2,000.
If the battery is low on your drone,
bring it home. If this drone be low, you bring it home.
So that's my
other.
Right.
There's another tip. Travelbydrone.com is a great site, and Tennis Buddy, if you're looking for a tennis buddy as you travel around, Johnny Jett. If Rafael Nadal says, yeah, I'll play with you, my advice, go for it.
I would.
If Sharapova says, I'll play with you.
I'm definitely playing.
Definitely go for it. thank you, Johnny. JohnnyJett.com. You can follow his travels at Johnny Jett on Twitter or on Instagram, Johnny Jett. And he joins us every week. And it's so much fun to travel vicariously with our travel guy, Johnny Jett. Thanks, John. Have a great time in London. You coming home tomorrow?
I'm going back tomorrow. Not home, but I'm going back somewhere tomorrow.
Oh, another mysterious locale.
And then next week we'll be off. You'll be away.
Yeah, Scott Wilkinson. You can do the show, though. Scott will be here, and we'd love to have you on with Scott.
Well, it's 4th of July weekend. I think I'm going to play some volleyball. But
go
thank
play
you.
Some volleyball. Set off some fireworks.
I'm going to be in L.A. I heard your last segment. You're going to be in L.A.
I'm going to be in L.A. We're one of our advertising agencies is having an anniversary party at the No Vacancy in the Hotel Jupiter and on Hollywood Boulevard.
Nice.
A week from Thursday. Should we go? Should we go down? You want to hook up? Will you be in town?
There. I think so.
All right. I'll see you there.
All right.
JohnnyJett.com. Thanks, Johnny. Take care.
Take care.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo. That's the number. If you want to call, 888-827-5536. Toll free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. outside those areas. You can Skype me, and of course the website techguylabs.com. Howard in Los Angeles, you're next. Hi, Howard. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hello, Leo. Yeah, I'm a little disappointed about a Samsung Galaxy Tab 3, and I shoot videos on my single and reflex, and they shoot a MOV file, and seem like they're not compatible, and I don't know what to do.
MOV is a QuickTime file. So what you'll need to do is install QuickTime from Apple. It's free, and you'll be able to play it back, or use VLC. You can play that back on almost anything. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888-ASK. Leo, that's the number. We're talking about computers, the internet, cell phones, camcorders, home theater, and all that jazz. The difficulty with video these days, we were talking about the fact that our last caller's camera records in MOV format. There's of course, the codec, the thing that compresses the video, and there are a variety of video codecs, and then the thing that decompresses it, that's compress, DEC, decompress. Very common are H.264, but there's DivX, MKV, there's a lot of formats. And then there's, actually MKV is not a format, MPEG 2, MPEG 4, that kind of thing. Those are codecs, how it's compressed and how it will be decompressed. Then there's the wrapper. That's the that's independent of the codec. So QuickTime is a, .mov is a wrapper that can hold a variety of different codecs, or video recorded and compressed under a variety of different codecs. MKV is a wrapper, typically for MPEG 2. AVI, the one, if you use Windows a lot, you'll see AVI video, and that's a wrapper within the AVI or variety of different videos recorded, a variety of different codecs. So you've got to solve both issues. You have to be able to open the file with something that can open that wrapper, but that program has to also understand the codecs. And the good news is, generally, if it's a .mov file, a QuickTime style file, anything that can read QuickTime video can probably read any of the codecs that might be inside it. I do often recommend VideoLAN Client, or VLC, because it is a player on Windows, on Macintosh, on some mobile platforms, Android and iOS, that that can read most kinds of wrappers and most kinds of codecs. So if you've got an oddball video file, and there are some really strange ones, like 3GP, which is a used to be a common format for smartphones to record in. If you've got something in an oddball format, it's always a good idea to go to videolan.org and get the VLC player. That's the, Big Ginge in the chat room says, it's the multi-tool for video. Pretty much, if VLC can't play it, it's going to be, you're going to have a bigger problem. It's going to be a challenge. VLC plays almost everything. So that's the first thing I suggest. Now, apparently, I the problem with VLC, because it does include codecs, some of which are patented or copyrighted and, you know, are not freely distributable, some platforms block it. iOS did for a while, and then they unblocked it. I'm told that Android, and I'll have to check this, in the United States, the Play Store does not carry VLC, but it does in other countries, and that's probably because of U.S. copyright laws. So I'm not sure what you would do, except you probably could what we do call sideload, which is get a copy of VLC. Well, you know, see, I see a VLC player for Android. It's in a beta. It's compatible with some, but not all Android. No, you can get it. So I was misinformed. This is a, if you're on Android and you want to be able to play back oddball videos, that's the program to have. Let's say hi to Tom, Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Tom. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey there, W6TWTN4TNB. How are you today?
Nice to talk to you. I'm great.
Good, good. pardon me, question on cell phone carriers and contract. My mother and I are both on Verizon with our iPhones. Her contract runs out in October of this year. Mine runs out in April of next year. The research that I've done indicates that the Verizon runs on GSM.
That's actually not correct, but go ahead. Verizon is a CDM, uses a CDMA technology. Okay, although everything is moving to LTE.
Okay, so I had that backwards. So Verizon is on CDMA.
Verizon and Sprint are CDMA. AT&T and T-Mobile are GSM. These are two fundamental cell phone technologies. Okay. In the old days, it mattered more than it does nowadays, and it's going to matter less and less over time. But right now, you have to get a phone that's compatible with that network.
Okay. Okay, because what we're looking to do, with that being said, is we're wanting to go to a no-contract provider. Okay. And this is the problem. My mother especially wants to continue on with an iPhone, and the plan was, since the iPhone 6 is going to come out right about the time her contract is up, it's going to be more expensive. So the plan was for her to possibly get an iPhone 5S. And if everything is, if everything that I've heard you say is true about the iPhone 6.
Well, I know nothing about the iPhone 6, even to the point that I don't even know what they're going to call it. All we really know is that we probably will have a new iPhone this fall. And we have seen pictures of what looks like two larger screen iPhones, a 4.7 inch and perhaps a 5.5 inch. But that's rumor, that's speculation. Because remember, you may even have these pictures. They may even be legitimate pictures, but Apple might make a variety of sizes in prototype. Doesn't mean they're going to release it.
That is okay. That is of interest to me, because I am visually impaired. So the bigger screen is of interest to me.
Yeah, I hope they do a bigger screen. I think they have to, but how big is bigger? I mean, 4.7 is still small compared to what's out there right now.
And I would even be willing to go to a Droid. My brother has the Galaxy.
I think the iPhone still has the best accessibility features. Do you use screen readers and stuff like that?
I do, and I use the Invert, and I use the Zoom.
Yeah, I would stick with iOS. And the good news, here's what I would suggest, since you want to go to a no-contract carrier, is look at T-Mobile. They do offer the iPhone. They will even pay your early termination fee up to a point. So you could go to them and say, hey, I'm not done till April, and they might be able to pay the difference and get you out of that Verizon contract. T-Mobile right now is extremely aggressive. They offer very affordable no-contract plans, but also just very affordable on-contract plans. And the advantage of a contract, of course, is they subsidize the cost of the phone. An unsubsidized iPhone, we're talking $600 and $700. They're not inexpensive. But T-Mobile is because they're running fourth, they're very aggressive right now to win people over. I would absolutely go to visit your T-Mobile. They even have a one-week try before you buy program right now at no cost. So you could try the iPhone for a week. If you can wait till, I'm pretty sure, and all my sources say September, it's only a few months now, a couple of 3 months, we'll know more about whatever the next iPhone is. If Apple doesn't make a bigger screen iPhone, I will be stunned. They are way behind on this. People have demonstrated the desire for bigger screens. Maybe not 6 inches, maybe not 5.5, but definitely bigger than the 4 inches they offer right now. That's tiny. So I suspect at least 4.7 inches. I think that's completely reasonable. 7.3. It's so funny to watch these iPhone rumors and iPad rumors, Apple rumors. We've been talking about an iWatch for months, because years, pardon me, years, because Apple says nothing. And Apple does not release this information. And yet, if enough people repeat the rumor, it sounds like it's fact. It's not. We don't know. We really do not know. 8888 Ask Leo. More of your calls right after this. Our show today brought to you by our good buddies at ShareFile Citrix. ShareFile Citrix is a company we've been partnering with for years. In fact, I owe the Tech Guy show to them when we first started syndicating the show. The syndicator, Premier, said, well, we'd like to know that you have some sponsors, that you'd be selling some. So I went over to my friends at Citrix. I said, would ShareFile be willing to sponsor the Tech Guy show? And they said, you bet. Would Citrix, we will be there with you, Leo. So thank you, Citrix, because this wouldn't be a radio show without them. ShareFile is actually a newer product, one of their newest products that helps you in business. If you, you know, pretty much every email in business these days, at least the majority of them, vast majority of them, contain some sort of attachment, a PowerPoint presentation, an invoice, a PDF, perhaps a, you know, a contract or a 3D drawing. Now, you've heard me say don't send attachments, don't open attachments. There are a couple of reasons. Of course, that's how viruses get spread, but also it's not secure. It's like sending a postcard through the mail. Anybody can read it along the way. And you lost control of it. I don't care what disclaimers you put in your sign, your signature line. I love those law firms. Do not, this is intended for the recipient only. Do not destroy it immediately if you get this. Blah, 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 blah. No, it doesn't work that way. You're sending it out into the public world without any protection. ShareFile solves this problem. First of all, you're not sending attachments. You don't have to worry about bounce backs. You can send files of 10 gigabytes without fear because you're sending a secure link. And the link is great. It goes right to a page with your company logo on it. That it's a big download button. They don't have to have an account. They don't have to join or anything. They just get your files. And you can do the same with requesting files. You decide who has access for how long. You'll get notifications when people open them. You could password protect them. It's a great way to share and work together. Citrix ShareFile. It's what I use to send the audio to the radio stations. And I've tried a lot of solutions. This is the one. Really recommend it. You could try it free for 30 days. There's no obligation. Just go to ShareFile.com. Now, you're going to see a bunch of buttons that say, try it free. At the very top, there's a little one that I want you to click. It says podcast listeners. Click that one if you would. It's got a little microphone, radio microphone. It's kind of hard to find, but that's the one that will let you enter in our offer code TECHGUY and let them know you heard about it on the radio show. Use the offer code TECHGUY, 30 days free at ShareFile.com. Well, hey, 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 how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, all that jazz. 8888-ASK. Leo is the number. 888-827-5536. Toll free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. Outside those areas, you can absolutely call us. Just use Skype. Skype us. 888-827-5536. Peter's in Tustin, California. Our next call. Hi, Peter.
How you doing?
I'm well.
Hey, quick question. You were talking about codecs and video players.
Yes.
And I went to a site. I downloaded some, and regrettably, I received some malware with it. Something called Search Donkey, and I was wondering if you had
Search Donkey does not sound good.
No, it's bad.
I should not laugh. Yeah, so unfortunately, you know, a couple of things have happened. Unfortunately, even legitimate sites, by the way, this is not legitimate. Search Donkey is malware. So wherever you got it, you shouldn't have. A couple of things to say. First of all, even if you're downloading a legitimate shareware or freeware program, but you're downloading it from a site like, let's say, CNETsDownload.com, very frequently they will put malware, I'm sorry, so easy to slip, adware, malware, in their installer. And sometimes they'll give you an opt-out, but sometimes it goes by very quickly, and you don't really see it. The only, as far as I'm concerned, the only distinction between malware and adware is that the adware asked you at some point whether you wanted it, gave you a chance not to do it, and it has an uninstall in the ad remove programs. Malware is just something that that installed on your computer that you didn't ask for, whether it has malicious impact or not. I mean, Search Donkey could say, hey, we're just changing the search engine. That's not a bad thing. We're just, you know, in fact, a lot of these malware programs say, we just, you know, this is a benefit to the consumer. It makes it easier for him to use his computer. But if they don't give you an easy way to remove it, it's a virus. Whether they think it's a benefit or not, I didn't ask for it. I can't remove it. It's a virus. Now, CNET does not install viruses. They have, you know, they don't cross that line. But the problem with codecs is a lot of these codecs are proprietary. They're owned by somebody. And if you go out on the internet and you search for a codec that's owned by somebody and you find somewhere to download it, that site is a pirate site. So at that point, all rules are off. They could install all sorts of stuff on you. It's very risky to do this. And you found out.
Yep.
And I don't say that to in any way castigate you, but just to, for others to hear this so they understand this is a problem. Now, what is Search Donkey doing? It's probably changing your search results, right?
It's installing ads on pages. Any page I visit, it will
Search Donkey
ads.
Does have an uninstall, I think, in the program and features menu.
So I tried that. That didn't work.
Well, yeah, that's the problem, right? It removed something, but not everything.
Yeah.
So if you've uninstalled it, and what is happening? It's still showing up?
It's still showing up. I've even gone into whether it's IE or Google and gone to the add-on section, unclicked whatever was there. I really think my challenge is I've even tried Symantec is finding the directories of what they've installed and going in and pulling it back out again.
So if you go to SearchDonkeyApp.com, SearchDonkey is a free application that allows you to highlight a term and instantly query your favorite services. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. In fact, Norton even certifies this as 100% virus-free. It says so on the webpage. What could possibly be wrong? Except that you can't use your browser anymore because junk keeps popping up every time you go somewhere.
And the machine is relatively unstable now as well.
That's nice. Is Search Donkey safe to use? Search Donkey says, yes. It was built with security and privacy as a primary concern. It's entirely free to use. We've partnered with high-quality ad providers. And you may see additional ads when Search Donkey's installed. But we don't allow annoying ads or sexual content or intrusive media. No, only the best ads. So I would go to it's searchdonkeyapp.com. And they do say if you go to add remove programs, you can uninstall it. Yes, we strive to make uninstalling Search Donkey as easy as possible. We hate annoying uninstallers as much as you do. If you don't like Search Donkey, but we're sure you will, you can uninstall with no trace left behind, but that's not been your experience, has it?
Absolutely not. So if nothing else, others can learn from me.
Yeah, if you search Google for remove Search Donkey, you'll see some pages that say that. You also might go to malwarebytes.org. Now, this is also risky because Malwarebytes, which is legitimate, has many copies that are not. You know, what's the first thing you do if you're a malware guy? Hey, let's create malware bits and hope people get it by accident, and then we can install malware. So you've got to go to MAL, and we'll put a link in the show notes to this, MALWAREBY, like computer bytes, you know, BYTES.org. And that's the official Malwarebytes. Install that. That will help you get rid of it. Bleepingcomputer.com, which is also a very useful site for people who are trying to get rid of stuff like this. They've got a lot of tips and tools. They have a cleaner that will help you remove it as well. The sad thing is these guys think of themselves as legitimate. They're from Granville, Michigan. What are we doing wrong? Look at Norton certifies us 100% virus-free. By the way, that's the site, not Search Donkey. I don't know how this is not a virus. I guess it really skirts the edges here. And what's sad is that a lot of legitimate, supposedly, I mean, what's more legitimate than CBS Interactive, the Columbia Broadcast System, the Edward R. Murrow's, you know, with Tiffany Network, the greatest television network of all. And they run a site called download.com that installs junk like this on your system. So if they do it, I mean, it's hopeless. So here's my suggestion. Only download software from the original creator of the software. Always check to see if others use it and find it safe. Google the name of it. Yeah, be very careful where you get software. And I don't recommend using any. There are good software repositories, but I hesitate to say any one because at any point, you know, this is how they make money. They could decide, we're going to cash in and start installing this stuff. And I have ragged on CNET and I've ragged on CBS for a long time. So have many others, including my friend Ed Bott. who writes for ZDNet, which is a sister company. It's owned by CBS. You're the Tiffany Network. We deserve better than this. Please stop it. Just stop it. If you can't afford to run this service without installing junk on our systems, don't do the service anymore. But please, this is so wrong in so many ways. And you're just annoying people, and you're forcing me to get on the radio and tell people don't download stuff from download.com. Do not, whatever you do. Sigh. You think they'd know better. I think the executives are told a pack of lies, basically, from the interactive side. They go, oh, no, it's fine, because there's an uninstaller. We ask them, there's nothing wrong with this. It's okay. We don't mind. They don't mind. Everybody loves it. Oracle's doing it with Java. Oracle. Oracle makes plenty of money. They don't need to add a little bit more money on the side by installing the Ask toolbar on my system. Just knock it off. Knock it off. 8888-ASK-LEO. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. We'll talk about the new Google stuff, Android Wear, when we come back. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888-ASK-LEO. That's the phone number. Android Wear, wristwatches. So this, I have very mixed feelings about this category, which we call wearables. We've seen the Google Glass, those glasses that'll get you beat up in a lot of parts of town, where they have a camera and they have video on it. We've talked about the Pebble Watch, which is a wristwatch that'll buzz your wrist when the phone rings, so you don't have to take... It's so hard to take the phone out of your pocket. We want to make life easier for you, so now you could just look at your wrist. The Fitbit, the Jawbone, all of these exercise bands, the Nike Fuel Band, you wear them on your wrist and they tell you how many steps you've taken. It's called a pedometer, and we've had them for years. But this is electronic. Yes, I know. It can also tell you how you sleep. Yes, I know. If you're willing to wear a big rubber band to bed at night, which I've done. You know what? Your sleep isn't very good as a result. I feel like this is something that the computer industry is foisting on us. They understand what's happening. You're not buying you're not buying computers anymore. You've started to slow down on buying tablets. The only thing anybody ever buys anymore is a smartphone. And the smartphone in your pockets might be the most powerful computer you own. It's certainly the one you use the most by far. It's on all the time. It's always with you. So as with any industry, remember the television industry, you stopped buying HDTVs, so they had to, start throwing stuff against the wall like 3D, hoping you'd go, oh, I gotta have 3D. That didn't work. Now they're doing it with UHD. Oh, your TV is only 1080p? You need the new 2160p Ultra HD. I do? Yes. You need it. Really? Yes. Go buy... Okay. So I really feel like the tech industry has decided, we've saturated. Everybody in the U.S. has a smartphone. Nobody's buying anything new. What are we going to do? The business is going down the tubes. We're in trouble. Plus, the stock market wants us to double our growth every year. What do we do? What's the next? Everybody in Silicon Valley, I could tell you because I could see it from here. Everybody in Silicon Valley is saying, what's the next big thing? And whether it's 3D glasses that you wear on your head and bump into walls, something you wear on your wrist or your eyes, where they're looking for the next big thing. And where everybody's decided wearables is it. Mostly because of all the rumors, never confirmed, that Apple's making an iWatch. Nobody's confirmed these rumors ever from Apple. Apple's never said word one. They just keep hiring people, and it feels like they might be doing it. So, Android Wear is a platform Google has announced based on Android for these watches. And they show, they look pretty good. LG and Samsung both now have shown Android Wear watches. They've been making watches before, but this is the new thing that works with your Android phone. The Samsung only works with Samsung phones. The LG works with all phones. Motorola is going to be doing another one this summer that's round. Actually looks like a wristwatch. instead of like that nerdy Casio calculator watch that you had in eighth grade. This thing is like looks like a watch face. They all look nerdy. And they're all designed for bigger wrists, because if when women wear them with their smaller wrists, they look just weird. It's like, are you in home release program from prison? Is this your ankle bracelet? What is going on? Nevertheless, I ordered one, of course, because that's my job. No, really, I have to. I ordered one. I ordered the LG, and I'll have it not next weekend, because I'll be out of town, but the weekend after. And I'll give you a review. Some of my friends have tried them. They say, hey, you know, it's pretty exciting, because the watch will let you know when the phone's ringing, who's calling. When you get a text, not only will it show you the text, but you can respond. The watch has a microphone. You can respond and send it without pulling your phone out. It uses Google's Google Now feature. I don't know if you've seen that on your Android phone, but it knows what you're doing, knows what your calendar is, what your search results are. So those cards will show up on the watch face. So when you, for instance, walk into the airport, it knows you have a flight. It'll even pull up your QR code for your flight if you've got one on the watch. So you could just go up to the TSA guy and say, it's on my watch. And I'll say, do you have a boarding pass? No, but it's on my, you see, it's on my wrist. But do you have a boarding pass? No, it's on my wrist. Go back and get a boarding pass. It'll be fun. Fun for the whole family. These watches also have, you know, pedometers. They have health stuff in them as well. It feels to me like it's a little bit of a square peg in a round hole. Like the industry is trying to force these things on us. Or maybe you disagree. Do you wear a Pebble? I know people love their Pebbles. Do you wear one of these watches? Are you crazy about it? Do you wear, Heather, do you wear a wristwatch?
Yep.
Okay. And do you wear it for jewelry, or for time?
Well, both.
It's jewelry.
You think?
Yeah, it's jewelry. So these would have to be fairly good looking for you to consider wearing them, right?
That's right. Very good looking.
Right.
And diamond encrusted.
Okay.
Please.
I bet somebody will do that.
I just upped the ante.
How much would you be willing to pay?
Oh, someone's going to give it to me, right?
Sure.
Willing to pay $500?
Yeah. So the current Android Wear, the LG is 200, I think, and the Samsung's 230 or vice versa. They're just around $200. That's not too much. You'd pay that much for a wristwatch. That's awesome. These do tell the time, by the way. I didn't mention this. But you have to charge them every night because they run out. It's like your phone. That's all right. You plug your phone in every night. Why not plug your watch in every night?
We're used to it.
Yeah, we're used to it now.
This is easy.
I just can't. Time will tell. You know, Ben Thompson has a great blog called Stratechery. He makes an interesting point. He says you buy a smartphone because you have to, right? You have to. Most people in the modern world, you need a phone, a cell phone, and you're probably going to get a smartphone. That's just like it's just you have to.
It's
no one has to buy a watch or glasses or a fanny pack with a computer. Nobody. That's a luxury purchase. And it's for a small market, a much smaller market than the smartphone market. You agree?
Yeah. I think long ago you were judged if you didn't wear a watch because it was kind of slackery. Like, don't you care? Don't you have someplace to be?
You're going
to
be late for work, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't. I don't know what time it is. It'll be very interesting. Very interesting to see what happens. But don't expect these to be as big a market as a smartphone market. Ben's right. Nobody has to buy these. These are going to be a fraction of the sales. Even the most successful will be a fraction of the sales of the smartphones. Anyway, I will be wearing one in 2 weeks. And you can judge. Don't judge me, man. 8888 Ask Leo. I've got more of your calls and the Gizwiz coming up. Stay tuned. I want a shoe phone. 8888-ASK-LEO. That's the number, 888-827-5536. John, Scottsdale, Arizona. You're next. Hi, John.
How you doing, Leo?
I am well. Welcome. Thanks for calling.
Unfortunately, I haven't been able to listen to your show for about the last 6 or 8 months just due to time issues. So somebody may have
possibly called in on this particular phone. I've got a Galaxy S, believe it or not, still chugging along.
Oh, I have one back in my my cabinet here, my computer museum. It was a great phone.
I like it.
You know, it's a little out of date now, but okay, yeah.
Yeah, slightly. I don't do a lot of stuff on it. Mostly, I newly bought it so I could throw away my little spiral notepads.
Yeah.
First thing I did, I put a notepad on there, got my calendar set up, and I have a Business Pro calendar, which I really like a lot. Seems to work well for me. But it's starting to get a little buggy, and I had updated it to 2.2 way back when that update came out.
2.2. You know, we're at 4.4 now, right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I know.
This phone is 4 years old, and the smartphone, that's like 104.
That is true.
Isn't that funny? It's only 4 years old, but things move so fast.
They do, but it has been doing everything that I needed to do.
And, no reason. You're absolutely, you know, I'm with you 100%. If it works, it works. It's 4 inches. It's the same size as today's iPhone, so it's not, you know, out of date in that regard. Processors have gotten faster. Memory's gotten faster.
And I know that some of the new programs, you know, just the little apps.
Yeah, they won't work with that older version of Android primarily. That's really the issue.
Right, so I went down to my T-Mobile store and was looking around because I'm on T-Mobile, and I know everything's faster. Basically, I found a phone similar in size. It's the Galaxy S Lite. From what I've read,
Samsung's great because they will make every size, every shape. They don't, you know, unlike Apple, which says this is the size, this is it. Samsung makes everything from a 6-inch phone to a 4-inch phone and everything in between.
Yeah, so I looked at it and it seemed to be fine, and I tried to do some research on it and I really couldn't find that many reviews. I think a couple reviews outside of the T-Mobile site, which had, you know, I don't know, 100 of them, but I thought, you know, I'd give you a call.
I'm not familiar with that model. Is it the Mini? Is that what it is? Or
basically, yeah, it's like a Mini. Some people compare it to like a Mini S3 or a Mini S.
Yeah, Samsung has a Galaxy S4 Mini, which is a very good phone. It's really a Galaxy S4, but smaller.
Okay, so maybe a T-Mobile. They
may have renamed it. What do they call it?
Okay, Light, Galaxy Light. Lite.
I'm thinking it might be the Mini. Let me just see. Oh, Light.
I think it's Lite. It might be Lite. I think it's Lite.
It's Android 4.2. It's you know, this is like your phone updated. Basically,
essentially, that's what I thought.
Yeah, it's 4 inches. It's very similar to the Galaxy S, the original Galaxy, and I think that's who they're aiming at. It is. You know, a lot faster. You have a single core 1 gigahertz process. This has a processor. This is a quad core 1.4 gigahertz. It also works with LTE, which I think you're going to see is a lot faster. And that's a big improvement. Your phone doesn't. It's using one of the slowest networks out there. It's a little bit of a better camera, not a great camera, but the price is right, isn't it? It's retails for $240 and subsidized is probably free.
Yeah, I was just, the way they have it set up, since they don't have the contracts anymore, you just, you know, everything's split.
I would go for it.
$10 a month.
I would go for it if you're happy with the size of your existing phone. This is such a small change. It will be faster, and more to the point, it will run the latest version of Android, which is what you need. Not quite the latest version. It's Jelly Bean, not KitKat, but close enough. It's a lot better than 2.2.
Yeah. I just, The two things I wanted to be able to do with it basically is obviously have the more updated not the processor but the updated program on it, but also I wanted to because it's just so easy these days to get caught up into, okay, the S5 is out, I'll now pay
$30 a month, you know, out of my pocket to have an S5.
Don't do that. Get, you're happy. Don't let peer pressure, it's getting to you, peer pressure. Next thing you'll be smoking e-cigs and dressing in kilts. Don't listen to your peers.
Although that's why I've hung on to my phone so far.
Yeah, you've done very well. So I would recommend the Light. I think it's a good choice. It isn't the latest, greatest, but it's cheap, and I think it's a good choice for you. Go with your gut, and I think your gut is right on this one. Fran in La Crescenta, California. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, Fran. What can I do for you?
Well, we're going to move to Hawaii for a little while, and they have Oceanic Time Warner over there.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to. I don't want to get the TV. I just want to get the internet and maybe a Apple TV or a Roku or. I was wondering, what should I get in that? Or
this is a tough one because there's no one set. These are these little internet-connected set-top boxes, which will give you a lot of programming over the internet. So you need to have good internet, by the way, obviously. But each box has some specialties that it does better than others. So you have to ask yourself, for instance, Apple TV only makes sense if you buy TV and movies on the Apple iTunes store. Do you?
Not yet.
Then don't. Apple TV is really for people who live in the Apple world, and it doesn't do a lot of things that say Roku do or the Amazon Fire TV. Now, if you buy movies and TV on Amazon, I think the Fire TV is a very good choice. They've added some nice features. It's got voice search. It's comparable to a Roku, but you can put Android apps on it, including games. It's got a great. Do you have kids?
Yes.
Got a great kids section. $99, I would look at the Fire TV. Roku is the king of the hill because it has so many channels, over 1,000 channels, but most of them are specialty and weird. And, you know, the basic stuff you want is on there. But remember, you won't be getting HBO, you won't be getting Showtime, you won't be getting ESPN unless you have a cable subscription to those channels on any of these.
Okay, we have Charter in La Crescenta. So I'm thinking if I put in my account number,
you're going to keep Charter?
Yes.
Beauty. Yes, you're very smart. So now when you go to Hawaii, you can log into HBO Go, Showtime Anywhere, ESPN, watch ESPN, and many other channels, CNN, and you just log in with your Charter account. Now, you got to first check, and I would try this on a smartphone or something, to see if those apps, if Charter, it has to be a deal between Charter and the company. So, for instance, I have HBO Go, and I can use it with my Comcast subscription, but not on every device. I can use it on Apple TV, but not a Roku, for instance. And that's okay. Because of the deals Comcast has made with HBO. So try it first. To make sure that Charter has made the appropriate deals with the cable channels you want. But that's a great solution. Now you don't have to have a cable subscription at all out there because you already got one in the mainland. So you can use those subscriptions to watch those shows in Hawaii. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, the Gizwiz, coming up. It is the Giz Whiz, Leo Laporte, the tech guy, and there he is, Dick DiBartolo, Mad Magazine's maddest writer for the last many a year. He's here now to talk to us about a gadget. He's also a great big gadget hound. Hey, Dickie.
Leo, how you doing?
I'm very well indeed. How are you?
I'm good, too. Happy to say that I have Fugu.
Oh, golly. Did you get it at the amusement park or perhaps
I think
kissing?
I got it at Petaluma.
Oh.
I think I got it at the market across the street. Ay,
caramba.
Yeah. Now, we always joke about there are 50 million Bluetooth speakers out there, and I'm so tired of people saying, oh, I have the best new device you've ever seen in your life.
Oh, it's nonstop.
A Bluetooth speaker. Yeah. Nonstop. So when a PR person called and said, I have Fugu, you know, I did what you did and said, wow. I have a good doctor here in Manhattan. This is a Bluetooth speaker with incredible sound.
Yes.
I said, you know, I'm using the Bose Mini.
We've seen many a Bluetooth speaker in our time, we not?
We have. She said, I'm coming to New York. We can compare it to your Bose. So we did compare it to... Bose has a little better low end, but the Fugu is very decent. But then they got into how the Fugu is marketed. The Core has six drivers in it, and the drivers face in every direction. So they call it 360 sound because the sound comes from all around the case. Then, depending on what you want to do with your Fugu, you buy a case for it.
A case for your Fugu.
Yeah, exactly. And the Core locks into it, so it looks like it came from the factory that way. So you can have a sport case, or in my case, I got what's called the Tough Jacket because they said it's waterproof, not water resistant. And I said, you know, I have a boat. I'd like to actually take it down and dump it in the Hudson River. They said, that would be great. We'd love to see you do that. And if you could take some pictures of it. So I took it down to the river. I was going to drag it behind the boat, which they told me that was okay too. But then I realized I'd be dragging it behind the boat and Dennis would be filming and there would be no one at the wheel. So
that's not going to work. No. Yeah.
So yes. I tied the boat up real tight against the dock, put it in reverse, which really had the water boiling behind the boat. Threw the speaker in, playing. Interesting is that Bluetooth does not penetrate water at all. So as it bobbed up and down, you would hear a couple of musical notes every time it came to the surface and go back down. Yeah, wow. Exactly. Yeah. I think I drowned two people in a band while I was doing this.
Is there somewhere we could see this video? Did you put it on YouTube or something?
Yeah, I did. It's on YouTube. It was on the Gizwiz last week or the week before. And I was really impressed with this speaker. Also, Leo, another very impressive thing, 3.5 hours of charge time for 40 hours of playback.
Wow.
At half volume. It is, and it's priced with all the other high-end things, $199, except the if you want the Fugu Core in the Tough Jacket. That's $229.99.
So these are all accessories.
Yes. Well, you sort of, you don't buy, you would buy the Core in some kind of a jacket. So you the least you would pay would be $199.
Okay.
I mean, unless there are discounts on.
How's it spelled? F-U?
It's F-U-G-O-O, Fugu.
Fugu.
Fugu. Okay.
And they're really all designed for some sort of it's outdoor activity. It's
a, yes, exactly.
They say exactly. A go anywhere speaker,
and you know they're talking about sandproof and freeze proof.
It's good for the beach. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it is. That's the Tough Jacket that. Yeah. Just
neat.
There.
The really website is fugoo.com, but you can also find them on Amazon. And you said the sound's good. What's the battery life like?
You know what? I did not check the battery.
Did you run it down? Were you able to run it down?
I did not run it down.
This is a big category because we all have music on our phones and we have Bluetooth on our phones, but you know, you don't want to necessarily connect it to the speakers. You have to move it around. So for Dick is at gizwiz.biz. More details about the Fugu there, gizwiz.biz, G-I-Z-W-I-Z.biz. But you can also go there to play the What the Heck Is It contest. A lovely little thing that gives you a chance to win an autographed copy of Mad Magazine.
Yes, and ending soon.
End of the month. You only got, two more days. Wow.
2 more days.
All right. It looks like some sort of a buzzsaw wheel, but it's blue plastic. I can't. It's baffling.
Maybe it's Bluetooth. But
aha!
I'm not giving any.
It does have blue teeth.
It does.
All right, Dickie D, stick around. The Giz Fizz is coming up right after the radio show on the podcast network, twit.tv, and Scott Wilkinson, our home theater guru, will be your special celebrity guest.
Indeed.
Should be fun. Everybody tune into that live.twit.tv in about 10 minutes. Thank you, Dickie D. I think we'll have time for another call. Let's see. Looks like Martin is in La Crescenta, California. Hi, Martin. Leo LaPorte.
Hi, Leo. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure. What can I do for you?
Well, I got a couple of emails that were a little bit threatening, and then they disappeared. And I'm just wondering, could people, like, recall emails, or how can they get lost?
This is something everybody would like, because we all, from time to time, send emails we wish we hadn't. But the only way to recall an email is if you're both using the same program. Outlook, for instance, will allow you to recall emails. It will contact
your Outlook and it deleted. Are you using Microsoft's Outlook for your email?
I do have Outlook.
Okay. So whoever sent it must have also been using Outlook. It's not a typical thing. It's not built into the email specification. That will help you figure out who sent it, because that person must have known. It's probably somebody you know who not only knows you use Outlook.
Yeah.
And not only knows you use Outlook, but uses it as well and has access to the server.
So there's no way to get those emails back then?
That's an interesting question. So you'd like them for evidence, in other words.
Well, I wanted to print it out because it was kind of threatening, and I was kind of like...
Yeah, you want to save those. And in fact, law enforcement, if you are in fear of harm or for your life, then you absolutely can go to law enforcement and get protection. Are you using an Exchange server, a business server?
Not that I know of.
Who's your internet service provider? I mean, where does the email come
AT&T.
From?
AT&T. And I also get it on my iPad, but it mainly stores on my Outlook on my computer.
I don't think you have to be both using an Exchange server. I think this is, you know, recalling email is not something very easy to do.
Okay.
So I'm puzzled. You may still have that email. I would look in your trash. I would look in your spam folders. I would search around. If you used Outlook to download mail from AT&T, I don't think you can. Anybody can recall it. And I don't think, I think only you can delete it. So look and see in your trash folder or your spam folder. Maybe you were shocked when you read it and you hit the delete key. Unless you're on an Exchange server, I don't think there's any way to do that. If you're on AT&T, you probably have it. So keep looking. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. I'm Leo Laporte. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget, the Tech Guy is just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows now on the Twit Netcast Network, and you'll find them all at twit.tv. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on MacBreak Weekly, iPad on iPad Today. You get your daily dose of tech news from Tech News Today and our weekly roundtable show, This Week in Tech. It's all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next time with another great Tech Guy podcast. Thanks for joining me. See you next time.